show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Beverly Mahood first came to our attention as a girl out of the ordinary, and her career has been anything but ordinary ever since. She has since sent more songs to the top of the charts, music videos to the same position. She's hosted TV shows like CMT Central and Pick a Puppy, and telethons like the Saskatchewan-based Telemiracle. Now Beverly is back with a brand new song and video, Hope and Gasoline, written by Beverly, Patricia Conroy, and Danik Dupel from Emerson Drive. Once again, Beverly Mahood is making country radio, CMT, and country fans take notice. My pleasure to welcome her to the show now. Hey, Beverly.
Hello, and what an intro.
Thank you.
That was
so
great.
Good to have you on the show, Beverly. I've followed your career for years, not only on radio, but on CMT. You're such a great host, and you're great at everything you do.
I try my best, and that's all you can do in life, right, Dave?
That's it, exactly, and you definitely do that. So many great songs. Now, the new song, which we're going to share a bit later, Hope and Gasoline, how exciting, Beverly, is it to have new music out and a new video for all your fans?
Dave, I can't even tell you the kind of the feeling I have. It's like I'm starting over again. It's like when I first put out my first single, Girl Out of the Ordinary, because I've been away a little bit from radio. It's not that I kind of stepped away from music. I've still been writing the last couple of years. I've been living in Nashville since 98, and writing is a big part of what I do. It's a big part of, you know, how you heal and how you get through things and how you share things with people. But I was busy down the Pick a Puppy road in the TV world to kind of focus on both. So I thought I'll put my focus into writing. And once I'm ready and have that right song to get back out there at radio, then that's when I'm going to shift back into music. And you know what? I've missed it. Oh, my gosh. Just this past week, I've spent talking to radio and talking to all my old friends and
right.
new friends, and it feels awesome.
I'll bet it's something that never leaves your system, right? I'm sure from the first time you started singing and playing music, you just got that bug and you just haven't been able to stop since.
Well, the bug kind of got back at me again because there, you know, it's the song talks a lot about, you know, I share a lot of myself in the song, and it's called Hope and Gasoline. It's about having the faith and the energy to go out there and do things that you want to do no matter how young or how old you are. If you want to do something in life, go and do it. And I woke up one morning just before my birthday, just before November 2nd, and
right.
I woke up feeling like I had that fire in my belly again to go back out and do music again. I mean, it's not the easiest business to be in, but when you love it and it's your passion, you can't stop but doing it. So I got together with my best friends and said, I have to do this again. And I finished my record, but I knew I was still missing something. I knew I was still missing that song that kind of had that hope and that song that if women are waking up at 7 in the morning, you know, getting their kids off to school or thinking they need to change life, or anybody for that matter, that it was
right.
going to be one of those songs that would give you that inspiration to do that.
That's so amazing. That's what country music does so well, Beverly. Songs like that, like Hope and Gasoline, somebody's going to listen to that, and that can make a big difference in their lives for the message they're getting.
Well, it made a big difference for me. It was the reason why I came back to music. It was the one song I knew I could go, you know, put out there again and feel I was, you know, doing something different and unique. And every time out, I do try to do that. I mean, I always take my own little path, and I think that's what the song talks about as well. But you want to do something that people can remember you by, and that's when you do something to your best and give it all you got and be authentic and be real.
Definitely. And the other exciting news is not only is there a brand new song, but a brand new album coming out. I was just looking at the tracks that are on it. Great titles. I always love reading titles first because you can tell so much about a song by it. And I also was excited to read about a couple of duets on there. Mike Reno, who we all remember from a great duet, Almost Paradise and Loverboy, the group. And Kim Mitchell, Patio Lanterns is on your album.
Well, it is. You know, I have a real affinity for my 80s music. I guess that's where I grew up in. But I have a real love of people that are just great at what they do. I mean, Randy Bachman and I do a lot of different things together. We did the Chorus Feeds Kids at Christmas, where we did the rendition of Taking Care of Christmas. And all the proceeds went to the food banks right across Canada. And I write a lot with him. And so Mike Reno is a guy that, you know, I knew back from my City TV days in Vancouver, who used to come on and bring me a coffee and come on the show kind of, you know, once every month he'd show up and I'd just get him on, we'd have a chit-chat. But he's a guy that just has the greatest voice, and I wanted to somehow use and have him a part of what I do. And then Kim Mitchell is just a legendary, you know, Canadian rock guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people, it's funny, you know, I'm just thinking about this, do similar things to me. You know, they all have other things that they do within the entertainment industry, radio, you know, and TV shows, but their first love and the thing they always love doing the most is back at music and playing.
Interesting. That's great. And what a great combination to have on your album. Mike Reno, of course, as I said, Almost Paradise, that great 80s duet. He's got such a beautiful voice. What can you tell us about Looking Like Love? Is this a love ballad, or is this an up-tempo song?
Oh, it's definitely an up-tempo kind of rock, kind of Boston kind of song. But it's just got a great spirit about it. It's about, you know, that first kind of, you know, that first crush, that summer love. And I don't care how old you are, how young you are, that first time or like the, you know, the 10th time you fall in love, it always feels the same. And it brings you back to being a kid again. So it's got that great vibe and great feel, but it's got energy like you wouldn't believe. And then adding Mike Reno's voice on there. You can't get any better than that.
Now, how many songs, Beverly, did you choose or did you go through before you chose the final ones for the album? Did you listen to a ton of them and write a ton first?
Well, I'll tell you, I've not stopped writing. It's something that I fell in love with when I wrote my first song, Girl of the Ordinary. And, you know, I was young in those days. And I think when I remember back, I was 19 years old, and when I got my first record deal, my producer and manager, I was all set to go. I just thought, well, let me sing other people's songs, and let's get a record out. I was so excited about that. And part of my deal of getting my record label and getting my management was, okay, it's not going to come that easy. You have to write at least one song. And when I wrote that first song, Girl Out of the Ordinary, I couldn't stop, and then I ended up writing most of the songs on my first record and have continued on. So, I haven't stopped writing, and I think, I mean, I'm still doing that. I'm still kind of, you know, shifting songs of what's going to be on the record and what isn't, just so that I feel like it's like a book, and it's a chapter or a look into your life, and so that people get to know you more. And through the last couple of years, I think, as in anybody's life, there are ups and downs. You know, life isn't always wonderful every day, and I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my personal life and in music, and in just, you know, your career of where to go and what road to take. And sometimes you take the bad road, you know, and sometimes you have to go down that road to realize you went down the bad road. Now you got to come back, and how do you kind of, you know, write the path that you're going on?
Yeah.
And I really feel like I've done that now. So I'm almost taking a selection. There's a few songs that might rotate in and out because I feel like I'm in a really good place in life right now. And a bit of the record might have been sounding a bit dark. I might have been shedding on the last, you know, 2 years ago of my life instead of reflecting on where I am now. And I'm in a good place in life.
That is so great to hear because, you know, I've been going back on YouTube and watching your live performances and your music videos. You're such a great performer, natural in front of the camera, and I've always enjoyed you. So I know so many people are going to be happy to have you back, places like CMT and Country Radio.
You know, I'm kind of I'm very humbled and kind of taken back a little bit this week when I'm, you know, when I'm talking to radio, when I'm talking to the fans again, when I'm, and they're my friends and they're so excited. And it's not a, oh, you know, everybody's babies are cute. It's a genuine, they're glad to have me back. They're glad that I have new music out. And I am just kind of loving that. And I'm on a complete high. My video is, you know, high rotation on CMT, but also, you know, the video views on it are just unreal on YouTube. So it's a great sense to feel like people are happy to have you back. And I can't be any happier.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about the video for Hope and Gasoline. People can catch it on CMT. It's doing great there. It's online on YouTube. Looks like a great location, obviously. It was the Mexico area and beautifully shot and just a great one of those videos you can that's very watchable.
Well, I'm glad it is that. It was my first time working with an amazing director, Jeff Weinrich, and he is unreal. And I just felt comfortable and really at ease with him. And we shot that video over 4 days. So, you know, we'd get up really early in the morning, 4 a.m, and want to get that morning light and then want to get, you know, the sunset as well. And we just took our time to make sure that we had a video that we were both really happy with. I think it was both of us taking a chance on each other saying, let's do something great together.
Is there a challenging part, Beverly, about making videos? I mean, they look great, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but what part about it would be the toughest part?
Well, everybody thinks, oh, it's so glamorous, it's so great. They're long days, you know, they're really long days. But I'll tell you that this one was pretty easy. I think, you know what, the hardest part is just to act natural. And I think that is a hard part. People think, oh, that's easy, just stand there in the camera. But it's not overacting. It's not being too much. It's just trying to be yourself and not be too over the top and too performance, because you just want people to kind of get to know you and see who you are. And if you're always performing and putting on a show, well, that doesn't really show them kind of how you are every day, you know? I mean, it's a bit of both. The hardest part is, you know, putting on the makeup every day and getting dressed up and doing all those things. But this video was really easy, because I'll tell you, it was the most natural I felt I've looked and been, and clothes-wise and not being kind of over the top and everything. I remember looking at myself the first day and I thought, I don't have any makeup on, you know, because usually videos, you gotta cover up everything. And it was like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're just going to kind of, you know, a little bit more natural. So it was good for me in a sense, but I couldn't stop looking at the mirror, not to look at myself to go, I've got no makeup on.
Oh, that's great. Let's talk about your influences, Beverly, those artists that you listened to as you grew up and wanted to mimic or follow in their career path, or that you just really enjoyed listening to. Who are some of those artists?
Oh, geez, you know, there's so many of them. I guess it would start way back in my days of my first little karaoke machine, where I sang Patsy Cline and I sang Madonna. And I love them both for the reasons that they really did change how women are viewed in music and in the music business. Patsy Cline came out with a voice that is undeniable and, you know, and really just opened up the doors for country women, but women in music. And then Madonna, she just seems to change and reinvent herself every time out. So I really admire, you know, women in the music business, because I think it's a little tougher for us. You know what? It is tough. But if you do something that you really love and you do it well, then hopefully you get the gate doors opening up for you. You know, I love James Taylor. I love Bryan Adams. I love singer-songwriters. I love people that you feel when they're singing, you're finding out something about them, but they're also singing from the heart and they love what they're doing.
Now, on this list of names of people that you've worked with over the years, shared the stage, I noticed that George Jones is on there. Can you talk a bit about that?
Oh, my gosh. George Jones was one of the first shows that I ever did in my career, and it was back in my hometown of London, Ontario.
Wow.
And that was nerve-wracking, because I was still just like, I only had one song on the radio. I remember placing all my music in front of me on like the lyrics, because I hadn't even finished my record yet. But my first song, Girl of the Ordinary, took off faster than I thought it would. And so I was getting these shows and I was getting asked to open up for, I mean, people like George Jones. So there I was, this girl on stage with all my little lyric sheets in front of me so I could, you know that my original tunes I was singing, because I had just written them. And I just remember being so nervous. But I remember a moment where I've been asked to get up and sing Rocking Chair with him. And I'm letting you in on some stuff here. I'm just being totally honest. I remember he said, young lady, would you like to come and sing Rocking Chair with me? And I said, oh, I'd love to. Sounds great. And he goes, we do it kind of near towards the end of the show. And he was just about to go on stage. And I said, absolutely. Sounds great. Turned to my manager and I said, we got to look that up because I don't even know the song. But by the time I got on that stage, I knew that song.
Right. That's what you always do. You say yes first, and then you learn the song, right?
You know what? It's great words of advice because it's something I've done in my whole career is I don't say no to many things. I say yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
What a great memory, the great George Jones. Let's turn to some of your music. We're going to go back a few years to the Moody Blues CD, 2004, and First Day You Wake Up Alone. This is such a great song, and the video, I believe, directed by Stephen Goldman. The video went to number one on CMT. What can you tell us about the song, Beverly?
The song is a little reflection into me being, I'm originally from Northern Ireland, Belfast, immigrated here when I was six. So I am an Irish girl, so that means, well, I get a little feisty and I sometimes can kind of fly off the handle and react fast before kind of taking my breath and saying, okay, maybe I had something to do with that fight. You know, as women, we're very rarely wrong, you know. I make fun of that because a lot of times I can be in the wrong, and sometimes you don't realize that until the person is maybe gone out of your life for it could be 10 minutes or 10 days or one day. But sometimes you don't realize that until the next day when you wake up alone. You kind of go, all right, it wasn't that bad. And maybe, well, just maybe I had something to do with it.
It's a great song. Let's share it now. Beverly Mahood and First Day You Wake Up Alone on In the Country.
Mama and he blew a stack. He gave her hell and she gave it right back to him too. Well, anger clouded his mind last night, but things were clear on the first daylight. Slips through the curtain and he opens his eyes to that motel room. Sorry, baby. She says
great song from my guest, Beverly Mahood, and that is called First Day You Wake Up Alone. You can learn more about her at beverlymahood.com. She's got a brand new song and album coming out. The song is called Hope and Gasoline, and that's coming up a bit later on the show. Beverly, I wanted to ask you, you've done a lot of interviews, of course, with CMT Central and in other hosting duties that you've done. Is there a favorite subject, an interview subject that stands out for you? It's hard, I know, to narrow it down, but somebody that really either surprised you or just entertained you.
I think one of my, there's two. One was Dwight Yoakam. That was one of my very first interviews when I was doing the Central show for CMT. And he was just really genuine. I remember him getting in really late and he was doing a show, but his flight was kind of redirected. So, I mean, basically the audience was waiting for him. And I was supposed to have a half an hour with him, and then it was like, well, he's really got to go on the stage, so he's only going to give you like 2 minutes. And then when he sat in front of me, we were having such a great chat, he said, no, I'm going to finish talking with her. So that was just really nice. He's just, I really liked him, you know, just a great guy.
Oh, that's great. Now, you mentioned another individual as well?
Kevin Costner was another.
Oh,
and,
cool.
and I mean, there's a guy that basically does everything, but just an interesting person, but pretty well down to earth and genuine.
Wow. That's great. It's so cool to have had a chance to interview the number of people and the great kinds of people that you did. Now, on the songwriting front, a couple of years back around 2004, you had a great honor, and this must have been a real thrill. I'll let you talk about it. Celine Dion recorded a song that you wrote called Come to Me.
Yeah, that is definitely a great honor, and it's great to know. When you're a songwriter, it's also great to know that other people think your songs are great, too. So when you get a call that Celine Dion wants to record one of your songs, that's a pretty big deal. That song came about, you know, I was doing working, you know, with David Foster. We did the Lace record together, and then I signed a multi-album deal with him. And so I was looking for songs for my new record, and I basically kind of thought, well, this might be one, David, you might want to do, you know, big orchestra. I had like these big, you know, I had it in my head of what this song was going to sound like. And so I sent him the guitar vocal demo. That was it. There was nothing else on the song. And he called me back and said, yeah, it's a really great song. It's not for you. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, I think it's for Celine. I think Celine will love this song. Sends it off to Celine, calls me the next day, and he goes, well, you know, she really doesn't agree with a lot of things I say, but she loves this song. So that was quite an honor to have Celine Dion sing your song. The most honor thing about it is, you know, she did it in the same key, followed my vocal, and then asked who the singer was. You know, it was the singer, the songwriter. So that was wow, not only did her write a great song, but she followed, you know, exactly what I did to a T.
That's got to be a great feeling. You did it right, and that's exactly the way she wanted to do it.
And she's the best singer in the world. She really is.
She's amazing. Wow, that is so cool. Now, we talked about duet partners earlier. Of course, Mike Reno and Kim Mitchell join you on the brand-new album that's coming out. Kenny Munshaw in the past. Great song we all remember, Kiss and Makeup. Is there anybody yet, Beverly, that's on your list that you're looking to record a duet with, hoping to? It just hasn't happened yet.
Oh, on my wish list, my bucket list?
Yeah.
That would be Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams.
Oh, nice.
If I could have dinner with him, make a mistake, we could write a song and record it. Awesome.
That sounds great. I mean, what a great Canadian talent. I saw him in concert a few years ago, and, you know, every song is a hit, and every song, you know, you stand up basically the whole show because it's that good. Obviously, what an awesome choice.
Well, I kind of had the same thing. I'll tell you, I don't get starstruck, Dave, but it happened to me, and I was like a kid in a candy store. A friend of mine, he was playing a private show, and a friend of mine was doing the sound and looking after the theater, and so I'd happened to call him because I was hanging out with Doug Gilmore, and we just finished an event, a charity event, and Doug said, let's go do something, and I said, well, I don't know what to do, where to go, and so I called my friend, and he said, Bryan Adams is playing right now, I can get you in if you want to come, it's a private function, I'm sure they won't mind if you guys show up. So we showed up, and it was this private show, and there's Bryan Adams on stage, and it's, you know, it's a corporate show, so a lot of times they're not the audiences that are into you. They're kind of sitting at their tables eating their dinner. There was Doug Gilmore and I standing at the front of the stage singing every song with him, and Bryan kind of at one point grabbed my attention, And he called me up on stage, and I tell you, I couldn't be on that stage fast enough. I had a dress on, but I couldn't have climbed up on that stage fast enough. I mean, that was like I was starstruck, and that does not happen to me often.
That would be an awesome duet. Earlier when I was checking out YouTube and one of your Telemiracle performances, you were doing a cover of the great song, one of my favorites from Days Gone By, Walking in Memphis.
Oh, it's one of my favorite tunes.
Love
it's funny. Kenny and I love singing that song together. The whole story about, you know, behind that song is about, you know, the ghost of Elvis. And it's about basically the songwriter kind of feeling like he dried up, like he just couldn't write any more songs. He just couldn't write a song and went to Graceland, visited Graceland, and kind of got that spirit back again. And I get that feeling every time, you know, living in Nashville. I visit Memphis a few times, and I never get tired of it. I always have to make my trip to Graceland because every time there's definitely his ghost is there, and you get inspired by just how amazing of a man he was.
Mm-hmm. What a great career, so many legendary songs. I mean, he was a legend. I guess obviously that's why his name continues to this day, and people out there still love him.
Oh, exactly, and it's why, you know, it's like it's that one song in the set list where it just kind of creeps in all the time. You know, you try to put new songs in, but all of a sudden, let's do Walking to Memphis, and everybody always loves that tune.
Yeah, Mark Cohn, who did that song, and some other great ones at the time. Now, the exciting news I was reading about later on this year, we're going to be able to see you in a movie called Changing Seasons. You're playing, I understand, a devoted single mother named Annalise. Tell us about that, Changing Seasons.
Well, that was a scary moment for me because I've done little bit parts and, of course, been on TV and done those things, but I've never done a full movie. So I got the script, let me see, about 3 weeks before we started filming. And when I'm flipping through, you know, basically 120 pages, there wasn't one page without my name on it, without the main character, Annalise. And I was like, how am I going to do this? I started freaking out. I was not a person that you wanted to be around because I wasn't very nice. I was just tense and I was stressed. Anything I do, I love to do it well. And so I kind of got those nerves. But I guess for me, I like the nerves. Nerves kind of makes me kind of step up to, you know, and step up to the plate and kind of, you know, be my best and try my best. And as I'm reading along, it didn't take me till about 12 pages in that I started falling in love with the character. And I fell in love with the character because I think being a single mom, being a single parent, is probably the hardest job in the world to do. And to play a character that was trying to outrun her past and make a better life for her and her son is just, to me, just an amazing role to play. But also it's a real-life character because that person is out there every day. I fell in love with her, fell in love with the character, and really just wanted to deliver that character. But you kind of start becoming that person. You know, I started, you know, my son is Bryce, and, you know, his real name is Jet, but I started calling him Bryce, you know, because you just start falling in love and being that person. But, that comes out later this year. I'm very excited about that.
And whereabouts, Beverly, are we going to be able to see Changing Seasons?
Changing Seasons will be a Lifetime movie. It'll be a Hallmark. It'll be one of those movies, a movie of the week.
Great. That's awesome. Now, by any chance, is there any music in it, any soundtrack of you singing or not?
Yes, there will be.
Good.
There is a few of my songs in there, and, of course, Hope and Gasoline will be in there as well because it talks about someone just, you know, taking that adventure and knowing that there's something else out there in life for them.
Well, let's turn to that song now. We're going to play it in just a moment, your brand-new one. Listeners can, of course, see the video on CMT and go to YouTube to watch it. They can download the single from iTunes. You wrote this with Patricia Conroy. She's been on the show a couple times before. Danik Dupel from Emerson Drive. Talk about you guys getting together and just the camaraderie of writing a song together.
Well, first of all, Patricia says hi.
Oh, awesome.
I had to get in there. She told me to say hi to you.
Oh, that's great.
The camaraderie about that song is Patricia Conroy is my best friend. You know, we kind of do everything together. And then Danik is a writing partner that, you know, from time to time we all get together and we try to write, not just write a song, but write a great song. And the day I walked in to write with them, I knew and had to kind of set it up that I had to write something that was going to relate to how I was feeling and hopefully how a lot of people were feeling in life, that if you felt like you were kind of stuck or you had that itch inside that kind of said, I got to go out there and do something more, or I know there's
right.
something more out there in life that I should do, maybe it's a song that makes you do that. And that's what I set out to write that day. I knew that musically it had to sound a little unique and a little different if I was going to go out there and do music again. But also I wanted it to be a message for other people, because it was also the message to myself to get back out there and do music again, to know that I still had that passion and that drive, so why not?
Love that. Love the story behind the song. Let's share it now. Brand new from Beverly Mahood, this is called Hope and Gasoline on In the Country.
Sunset falling down on a dirt road. Nothing here but me and that scarecrow. The middle of nowhere. Wind blowing through my hair. Bag stuffed in the back seat of my car. Heading for what's tugging my heart. There's nothing left here but a handful of memories. I'll write so you don't forget me. That highway.
And that is brand new music from my guest, Beverly Mahood. It's called Hope and Gasoline from her upcoming album. You can find her on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and at beverlymahood.com. Now, I understand that so far is the working title of the album, Beverly, Hope and Gasoline?
Yes, it is.
Great title. You've been hosting for 16 years the Saskatchewan-based telethon called Telemiracle. Tell us about your involvement with that, Beverly, and just how much that means to you.
Well, I don't go through a year thinking I could ever miss it. I some years it has fallen, you know, when the Junos are, when I've been nominated, and I have given up going to the Junos to make sure that I'm there for the people of Saskatchewan. There is nothing like it. It goes back to my very first year being there, where I thought I was just going there as an artist, you know, to go on and sing your songs, and the telethon goes on for its 36 hours.
Right.
And, you know, I was kind of a shy girl back in the day. I was actually very shy. So I'd sing my songs, and then I'd get off the stage as fast as I could so I didn't have to talk. But my manager did not tell me until I arrived there. Well, I found out when I was there that I actually had to host as well. And I remember going back into my little dressing room, calling my manager and saying, get me out of here. I can't do this. I can't speak. And he said, you're just going to have to do it. But it was like he knew that I'd have to be up for the challenge and I just have to do it. Well, I'll tell you, I fell in love with it because when you just feel the heart of what those people are doing, they are raising money for the people of Saskatchewan. So, you know, a young girl needs a heart transplant or to take care of the family's needs while their child's away in another province or to provide for anything of the people of Saskatchewan when they need help, the Kinsmen Telemiracle is there for them. And I just started getting on, you know, what it is they were doing and wanting to fight for them and wanting to be that voice for them. And, of course, when you're hosting a telethon at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you get a bit delirious. And I think that's when my best came out. I was delirious, and I was wanting to get those phones ringing. And I have done it now. This will be my 17th year coming up now. I haven't missed one year, and I won't.
That's pretty amazing. It's so great that, Beverly, not only can your music, songs like Hope and Gasoline, be an inspiration to people and they can get something out of that, but you're giving back by hosting the Telemiracle. It's got to be a good feeling because, I mean, there's the entertainment factor to music, of course, but then there's the giving back.
You know what? It's really important, too. I think that when you're in the entertainment business, you know, you do have a voice because you have people can see you, people can hear you, so they're going to listen to you.
Yes.
And I think that part of my reason for going back to music, and the honest truth is, I really felt like if I have new music out, it means I can do better things and more things for people. And I truly believe in that. If good things are happening to you, that you've given two hands, and one is to help yourself, but the other is always to help other people. It is so important. And when you can be a voice for someone, and especially a voice for a child, it's the greatest reward in the world.
Now, so many of our listeners will know you as well from the very popular show called Pick a Puppy. It's a great show to watch, a feel-good show. How amazing has that been in your life?
Oh, it's been unreal. I am an animal lover. I have my own little baby, my little miniature schnauzer, Jake. It's just a heartwarming show when you see the bond of an animal, you know, a dog, a puppy, or rescue with a child or with a family. There is no better feeling in the world than that. And it's a cute show. I'm a lucky girl to be a part of it.
No doubt. We all love that show. Terrific one. This is an interesting fact. You were an exclusive performer for Kate and William. Talk about royalty, literally.
Yeah, I was definitely exclusive entertainment. And also, that was kind of a big year for me because I was also the only performer to perform at the G8 for the 8 world leaders when they wanted to take a break after, you know, negotiating and going over all the big decisions they were making. I got to perform for them. And that was nerve-wracking again because you're like, what do you sing for them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What song's not going to offend them? You want a toe-tapper? Do you want something that, you know, you want to give a great message? That was the hardest, you know, to come up with that song list and set list. That was the hardest thing that I've done. But I have been pretty honored to perform for some amazing audiences. But, you know, the best audiences, the ones that I love the most, are the ones when you're sitting in front of your fans. Those are the best.
Right. The fans who know your music, love your music, sing it back to you.
Oh, there's nothing like it. Or getting new fans, people that might have never heard your music before and go, wow,
right.
I really like that song that inspired me. I'm now a fan. There's nothing like that. Getting one new fan at a time is an incredible feeling.
Now, what about songs that move you, Beverly, whether it's a song that you've had a hand in writing or a song that we might all know? What song moves you when you're up on stage singing it?
Oh, boy, it all depends what kind of mood you're in, you know. I love a song that kind of gets you moving, gets you kind of, I love funk tunes and old R&B. But, you know, songs that get to me is when you can sing a song and hear a pin drop, no matter what audience
right.
you're at. You know, I love those moments when you can have kind of an audience in the palm of your hand because you've set a song up so well and sang it right from the heart, a song that I have on this record is a song called Carrie Ann, where I share my experience about being a young girl from Ireland and how I grew up in troubled times there, and moving to Canada, and how I've left my best friend behind, and her name is Carrie Ann, and how I left without ever saying goodbye, because we left when the troubles were at definite at a high. And my dad owned all the taxis and the buses and all the funeral undertakers back in Northern Ireland, Belfast. And 48 hours before we left Ireland, my dad was shot in the head, taking a bus run from Northern Ireland to Southern Ireland. And then they threatened to bomb our home. And we were in Canada within 48 hours. So it kind of is a song that takes you through that journey of, you know, still remembering that and never forgetting and feeling so lucky about where I am today, and that is I'm in Canada and I'm proud to be Canadian.
Yeah, what a powerful song that will be. And that is on your upcoming album that everybody can look forward to. Check out BeverlyMahood.com to follow in more news about it. Producers on the album, and there's a couple of them for different songs, I guess. How important, for those who don't know, we all hear the term producer, but what exactly does a producer contribute to an album, and what difference do they make?
Well, a lot of times the producer makes a huge difference is because they bring to life what you're hearing in your head or how you see something, how it is produced, how when you deliver a song, whether it just might be piano and vocal or guitar and vocal, and what makes it come to life, what makes it kind of shape and makes it so that the whole world wants to sing it and the whole world hears it. And sometimes a song can be heard in just a guitar vocal or a piano vocal. But
right.
In a lot of cases, to be on radio, the song needs more of a treatment than that. And so it's their job to make the song come to life and also make you come to life and set you up in your best way that you can. Bob Funk is Patricia Conroy's husband, and
right.
I really get along great with him because, you know, I do have my say. I am right in there. I am involved. I don't just kind of let my babies go and you can dress them up whatever way you want. I'm there every step of the way, and he's a guy that definitely, you know, listens to me and wanted to make sure I had my input so that at the end of the day I made the record that I was most proud of so that he could be proud of it. And, you know, finalizing things, you know, it's really the hardest part is kind of saying, okay, that's it, it's done. And he was there every step of the way. Another producer on the record was Robert Wright, and he's produced some amazing records. And everybody produces differently. And I think it's great to have a couple of different producers on the record. I certainly have loved doing that because different songs, you know, need different treatments and different flavors. And I definitely got to do that on this record.
Now, do you think, Beverly, that you've got an ear for talent for producing in the sense that I was thinking about young and upcoming artists out there, pop or country, who, you know, are looking for somebody to mentor them. Is that something that would interest you in developing, you know, somebody else's career?
Oh, boy, I do it every day. I can't help myself. I think that's why I've really fallen in love with writing is that, you know, every day in Nashville you can write a song and you can sit in a room with a new artist, an up-and-comer, a very young, fresh face, and just help develop them. And for me, I love to try to bring out the best in them and try to maybe give them a sense of what I went through and help them along the way. I think that, you know, life is too short to think it's all about you. And any day that you can help a new person, a new talent, discover what's inside and what makes them the best at what they can be, is what it inspires me. I think it's what helped me, you know, write more music. It's what helped me actually say, I want to do this again because I fell in love with writing all over again, and I fell in love with being on stage. I miss it incredibly. A couple of new different artists that are coming out that I'm involved with is Leah Daniels, who, God, she's so good, and she's got that drive and that spirit and that passion and that kind of eye of the tiger. I think she's going to do wonderful things and great things. So I've had a great pleasure at writing and being part of her record and developing, you know, her sound and what she's going to have out there. Yeah, I mean, in every part of this business, I love being a part of it. So there's no one thing I love more except you can't take away what it feels like to be on stage performing.
Awesome. We look forward to that, to seeing you this summer on stage on CMT, of course, with Hope and Gasoline, brand new album coming out, BeverlyMahood.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You're all over the Internet, of course. Beverly, thanks so much for being part of the show. It's been great. I've followed your career, as I mentioned off the top, for so long. Love your music and your acting and hosting. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for such an amazing interview. You're very good.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. My guest today has been a country artist, Beverly Mahood. I'm Dave Woods. For more country interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.